Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So again, I want to thank everyone for giving me some opportunity to do some service to all the Vaishnavas and Giriraj and our Gurujanas by trying to repeat a little something we've heard from our revered spiritual master and from the previous acharyas. My Guru Maharaj, he used to say that Srila Prabhupada's books, this Vedic literature, they're very deep like the ocean. And if you want to get the very valuable gems and pearls that are there in that ocean, you have to dive very deep. And he would say that if you only stay on the surface, then all you'll get is fish. You'll collect some external thing. Because Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grayam Nabudhya Nachatikaya, Srimad Bhagavatam is a person. And this person, Krishna, is only understood through bhakti. Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grayam Nabudhya, not by your intelligence. There are many Sanskrit scholars and professors who know Sanskrit very well, and they may read Srimad Bhagavatam, but they can't understand. And Nachatikaya, this verse, which is in Chaitanya Charitamrita and spoken by Lord Shiva, says, even by reading the commentaries, you can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam. I beg apology from our Ridvik friends. But it requires a person, because Krishna is a person. Ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhaktas tate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas te me bhakta tamo mataha. Krishna tells Arjun, and the Adi Purana, this famous verse which is often quoted by our Goswamis, that he says, that person who says he's my devotee, who tries to approach me on their own, like reading Srimad Bhagavatam on her own, he's not really my devotee. And you can't understand Krishna in that way. Rather, we have to become a devotee of a devotee. This is the glories of Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're reading from the 23rd chapter of the 10th canto, describing the Yajnapatni Leela, or the pastime of the wives of the Yajna Brahmins. And the boys, they were sent by Krishna to the Yajnapatnis, and they told them in text 16, Namovo viprapatni bhyo nibhota vachamsinaha itto vidure charata krishnen ehishita vayam. Krishnen ehishita. We were sent here by Krishna. The boys are Krishna's representatives. They're gurus, we've been commenting. They said, Namo viprapatni bhyo, we offer our pranams to you, our dear wives of the Yajna Brahmins. Because you're Brahmanis. This is culture. And the cowherd boys are very cultured. They didn't come and say, hey, don't you know who I am? Like sometimes in Jagannath Puri, some devotees who've been worshipping Jagannath for many years, they go to Puri, very happy, yes, I'll go to Puri and see Lord Jagannath. And they go to the gate, and the pandits tell him, huh? Prabeshni shade, entrance forbidden. And the devotees become angry. Hey, don't you know who I am? I won the marathon. I distributed more books than anyone else. I'm a great devotee. You should let me inside. So the cowherd boys, their mood was not like that. They didn't go and say, hey, don't you know we're Krishna's very intimate associates? Rather, the boys, they went and they offered respect to the Brahmanis. This is proper Vedic culture. And as Nitya Parishads, eternal associates of the Lord, they know culture. And they don't neglect this part. So they told him, you please hear our words that Krishna has sent us. Gascharayan sagopalai saramo duramagataha bubukshitasya tasyanam Sanugasya pradiyatam. Krishna's come a long way with the cowherd boys in Balaram, and all day they've been herding the cows, and now he's hungry. So some food should be given for him and his companions. Does anyone remember yesterday what we described from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's Saartha Darshani commentary, what Krishna told the boys very clearly, his instruction to them when he went to see the Yajnaputnis, what he should not tell them? Does anyone remember? He told them, don't tell them I'm hungry. Because if you tell them I'm hungry, they're going to be very disturbed. So then how do we understand this verse today? The boys, immediately they go there, and they say, bubukshitasya tasyanam. That Krishna and Balaram, they're very hungry. Did they disobey Krishna's order? We can understand things, my Guru Maharaj would describe, in two ways. We said this, I think, on our first or second class. By tattva vichar, the absolute consideration, or by aparavichar, the apparent consideration. By the aparavichar, it seems the boys disobeyed Krishna's order. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, he says, no, they didn't disobey. He says that amazing thing happened. When the boys went there, and please remember, Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, he told the boys, he said, okay, now you've gone to see the Brahmins. And we had this little test to see who is greater, the trees or the Brahmins? And who won? The trees won, the trees of Braj. And you went there and you told them my names because they were sleeping. And if they hear my names, maybe they'll wake up. Because those Yajna Brahmins, Jiva Goswami says, they were not chanting the names of Krishna. Rather, they were chanting so many other things. Hum vat shroshad vasod it deva madhyaha shabda yasmin nakvachik krishna mukhyaha. They were just chanting, hum vat shroshad vasod. But they were never chanting Krishna's name. And the boys went there and they told them, Krishna, Krishna. But those Brahmins, they didn't listen. So then Krishna told them, now you go to the Yajnaputnis, the wives of those Brahmins. And you also say my name to them. So they did like that. Krishnehi sita vayam. They said that Krishna sent us. So a funny thing happened then. When the boys went and said this to the Yajnaputnis, when they heard the name Krishna, they all fainted in ecstasy. And so then the boys sing, oh, this is a problem. How are we going to collect any food for Krishna and Balaram? If they're fainted. Madhumanga was also very upset. He's very hungry. What are we going to do? So then, to revive them, they told them, hey, we came here because Krishna and Balaram are hungry. And then when they heard that, then the wives became very attentive. So because Krishna and Balaram are none different from these cowherd boys, they know the heart of Krishna and Balaram. They're very expert, like Sadguru is very expert. And although externally it may seem that they're disobeying Krishna's order, because they're pranaya, they're one with Krishna in their heart. There's no difference between them and Krishna. They understood what Krishna would want them to do in that situation because Krishna is speaking to them in the heart. Vishwanath says at that time, the Yajnaputnis, when they recovered their external consciousness, they became very angry with their own minds and they began criticizing their minds. Hey, Badmas Mana, you rascal mind. Although you've heard that your beloved Krishna is suffering from hunger, why didn't you wake up from your faint? And Kavi Karnapur gives a very beautiful description in Ananda Brindavan Champu. He says that when the ladies heard those words of the boys, their hearts melted in ecstatic love. And they felt as if Krishna had suddenly manifested before them. Again, this is Guru Tattva. When we come in contact with Sadguru, and how do we come in contact with Sadguru? Huh? How do you make a friend? If you're in school, you're a young person in school, do you go to the principal of the school and say, I want to make a friend, can you please assign me someone? That's not according to the principles of friendship or relationship. And so similarly, to get guru, you don't go to the temple president or to the GBC. Can you give me a list of all their names and maybe some pictures also? That'll help me. Guru is Krishna's manifestation when we cry in the heart. And the Yajnapatnis, who were hankering and hankering for Krishna for so long, they cried in that way. I'll read you something from our new book that my revered spiritual master, Gaurga Vindamarj, has said. We should always be praying, Krishna, please help me. Chanting Hare Krishna means that the soul is crying. Atma Krandana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. O Krishna Shakti Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. I'm fallen. I nanda tanuja kinkaram patitamam vishami bhavambudo kripayatava pada panka jastita duli sadrisam vichintaya. I'm your kinkar, your servant, but somehow I've fallen in the ocean of nescience. Please pick me up, shower your mercy, and make me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. Crying and crying, the soul is crying, uttering his Harinam. If you chant in this way, then you'll get Krishna's mercy, miraculously, unexpectedly. Nothing is impossible for Krishna. It's impossible for us, but Krishna wants that thing. The only lacking is with us. Why do we call them the Yajnapatnis? It means that they're the wives of the Vedic Brahmins. But we could offer another more modern definition of that. That it means that that being the wives of those fellows was a great jagya. Because they were so stiff and so very, very difficult. But they cried. And as we'll hear something today, by that crying, Krishna responded immediately. Krishna took a different path that day through the forest, avoiding the fruit trees, because Krishna wanted to show that these Yajnapatnis were like the fruit trees for the boys. He knew their desire. And although everything seemed hopeless for those Yajnapatnis, they were locked up by their husbands, by their tradition. For those of you who are Bideshis or foreigners, you don't understand what it's like even today in India. We have friends, even in Delhi, which is a modern city, who have 17-year-old, 20-year-old daughters. And their daughters are not allowed to go anywhere on their own. They're not allowed to go on Facebook. And what to speak of having a boyfriend or talking to someone like that. They're locked up. And we can't even imagine 5,000 years ago what it was like for these very high-class Brahmani ladies who are controlled by their parents, by their husbands, by their children, by their friends, by the whole society. So, Kavi Karnapur, he says that when those Yajnapatnis heard the words of the boys, which was music for their afflicted soul, they were dying. How can we come in contact with Krishna? And Krishna sent them and spoke Krishna's name to them. Those ladies melted in ecstatic love, and they felt as if suddenly Krishna had manifest before them. The thought that we can directly meet Krishna stole the chariots of their minds, and they began to drown in an ocean of bliss, and their eyes became flooded with tears, and their tender creeper-like bodies erupted in blissful goosebumps. The wives of those Yajnapatnis, their senses became numb and stopped working. When those cowherd boys, saw the ecstatic transformation of the Yajnaputnis, they became a little perplexed. And the boys looked at each other and they said, "What is this? Huh? When we first came here and we told them that Krishna and Balaram sent us, these respectable Brahmin ladies became ecstatic. They became mad with the desire to see Krishna. But now, what are they doing? Their behavior is very strange." Hmm? The boys are speaking in a humorous kind of way amongst themselves. In an indirect way, they're glorifying Krishna. Uh-huh. And they said, "Now, these Yajnaputnis, they're not moving. Huh? They're not speaking. They're not looking at anything. Maybe we have to call some astrologer. Hey, Maru Mangal, you know some astrology. Maybe some bad planet, some evil planet has mesmerized them." Mm-hmm. And the boys, they said, it wasn't a big surprise when we went to their husbands and they treated us very rudely. Uh-huh. And they didn't even acknowledge our presence. They just ignored us. Mm-hmm. And they didn't give us anything. But we're amazed at these lotus-eyed wives of the Brahmins. They're failing to give us anything, even after very attentively hearing our request and giving us so much affection and indication they wanted to serve. Who can understand the mentality of these Yajnaputnis? How did their behavior change so radically? Krishna is glorifying his devotees. And this is the difference between the Yajnaputnis and the Yajna Brahmins. The Yajnaputnis were attached to Krishna Nam. And they became ecstatic upon hearing that. Whereas the Vedic Brahmins, they were more attached to Vanashram Dharma and following all the rules and regulations very strictly. When the boys spoke this way, then the ladies, they heard them, they didn't say a word to them. But like trees which suddenly start moving, they went into their kitchens and started collecting the foodstuffs that had been cooked previously for the yajna. And on a large plate, they expertly piled up all the rice and vegetables and other delicious foodstuffs. And Kavi Karnapur says that huge pile of food represented their loving desire to please Krishna. Once we heard that in the early days, there were some very small deities of Radha Krishna. And so the devotees, they were making very small plates for Radha and Krishna also. And when Srila Prabhupada heard that, he said, "No, Krishna's a 16-year-old boy. And he's very hungry. You have to give him a big plate. Don't just look at the size of the deity." So Kavi Karnapur here, he's describing that when the devotees make such a big plate of food, it's not just some ritualistic thing, but this represents the affection, the love of the devotees. They want to make a huge pile of food for Krishna. In his Govinda Mangal, the poet Duki Shamdas, he's described what happened next. When those ladies became so ecstatic and they made this huge pile of food and they started following the boys, what did their husbands say? Duki Krishnadas sings. You can chant Hare Krishna in response. Rama nira charicha deki adri jagan pata agulia rake bole kuvachan. Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. When those Brahmins, as Dvijagana, when they saw, they heard Brahmanira Charita, the words of their wives, they said, "Hey, this is very bad." Mm-hmm. And Pata Agulia Rake Bole Kuvachan, they stood in their path. And Kuvachan, they started speaking very angry words to the ladies. Emona kuburi keba dila to sabare. O dhanna vyanjana loe diva rakalare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. They said, "Emana kuburi, keba dila to sabare. Who gave you this bad intelligence? bad instructions. Udanavyanjana loe dibi raka lere, that you're going to this cowherd boy and taking all these nice foodstuffs to him. Viprapatni hoya tora kari laki kama tara pashe bila nada hide bila dharma. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. And they said, hey, don't you know who you are? You're our wives. You belong to us. You have to follow Sri Dharma. They gave them that upadi, that designation. Viprapatni hoyator kalila ki karma. What are you doing? Don't you know? If you leave your good husbands, if you abandon your Sri Dharma, your proper behavior according to Manu Sanghita, and the Dharma Shastras of following your husbands, then tara pashe gele naruhi kulu dharma. You'll lose your religion. If you go to this cowherd boy Krishna, you'll lose your religion. That's what those Brahmins told their wives. Kulera kamini tora kena jahabane yajakare deha mana chala sadane. Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You came from good families. You have to think, what is your father going to say about this? Very bad. Why are you going to the forest? You come back. You have some service to do with our religion. Well, these yajnas, you have to do that thing. And what did the yajnapatnis do? Namane prabhoda tara brahmane ratoni Krishna Bhadashana Ase Pela Sabe Chali. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Namane Prabodha. They didn't listen to their husbands. They just ignored them. And they kept on going to see Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in his Krishna book, when they, the wives of the Yajna Brahmins, were preparing to leave home to go and see Krishna, their husbands, fathers, sons, and relatives asked them not to go, but the wives did not comply. When a devotee is called by the attraction of Krishna, he doesn't care for bodily ties. These Yajna Brahmins, they were gurus. Later we'll hear this. They describe this to their wives and they lament. We're gurus. We have so many disciples. We're big, big people in the society. But they were overly attached to the rules and regulations. And they weren't following the essence of real dharma, real religion. Savai pumsam, paro dharma, yato bhaktir adhoksaje. Which is to worship Krishna. And those Yajnapatnis, they understood the essence of religion. They called out for Krishna, and then Krishna manifested before them. Sometimes devotees, they come to me and they say, Madhavananda, what's your opinion? Should XYZ person be a guru? And I say, well, you know, I don't know anything about that person, but I do have one comment about this. Why are you asking such a stupid question? Are you going to pass a resolution and send an email to Krishna? Dear Krishna, we had a meeting of senior persons today, and we decided that you're not allowed to allow this particular person to be your representative. Is that what you're saying? We don't understand the principle of guru. Guru is Krishna's representative. And Krishna decides who is going to be his representative. Do you think he cares for our rules or our legislation? Krishna doesn't care for those Yajna Brahmins. He called for those ladies. And those ladies, they ran to him. The Bhagavatam describes, and this is one of the verses which Thakur Bhakti Vinod quotes in his Bhagavat Arkamaricchamala. Chaturvidam bahu gunam anam adaya bhajanai abhisasru priyam sarvaha samudram eva nimnagaha. Very beautiful description. He says that those ladies, they piled on their heads all the different foodstuffs. And Jiva Goswami and his Lagu Vaishnav Toshini, he says because the boys didn't tell them which things Krishna liked particularly, so they just took everything. All the foodstuffs. Chaturvidam, all four different types of foodstuffs, foods which are chewed, sucked, licked, and swallowed. Bahu ganam, those foodstuffs were full of very rich tastes and fragrances. Why were they full of rich fragrances and tastes? Because they used very good spices? No. Because when those yajnapatnis were cooking, they had a very nice spice, the best spice. And this is a spice which is also available for all of us when we're cooking. Very nice. When you're cooking, you add this spice. Very loudly you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Those foodstuffs were fragrant with the scent of their love. Because they were chanting Krishna's names while they were cooking. And abhisasru, priyam sarvaha, all of them went to Krishna, sabundram eva nimnaga, just like rivers go to the ocean. And Vishwanathi says this analogy is given because you can't stop a river from going to the ocean. Excuse me, not allowed to go this way. We have our rules. The river is not going to listen to you. The river will just go right past you. Jiva Goswami describes in his Gopal Champu, Atha puraskrita gopa sutayuta vivida bhojana bhajana mastakaha patipada kramanam kiyadagrata sa iti tarshi gire parichakramu. These ladies, they put those unlimited cowherd boys in front of them, and then putting those food vessels on their heads, they went to Krishna. And with great anxiety, with every step, the ladies are asking the boys, is it much further? Are we almost there? Is Krishna here yet? And Kavi Karnapur, he says that in great ecstasy, the yajnapatnis, sometimes with those big pots on their heads, they started running. Sometimes they were stumbling. Sometimes they would just stop, becoming stunned with ecstasy, thinking about Krishna and Balaram. And then other times they would start moving very, very slowly in great ecstasy. How were they going to see Krishna and Balaram? The Bhagavatam describes the strength that they had. Nisidyamana pati bir, bratri bir bandubi sutai, Bhagavat yutama shloke dirga shruta ditashaya. Although nished, they were forbidden by pati bir, by their husbands, who were their religious authorities. They were forbidden brati bir, by their brothers, bandubi, by their different relatives, and even sutai, by their own sons. Don't go there. But Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke, they went to the Lord, who is always praised with transcendental hymns. And in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says in his purport that the word Uttama Shloka is used in the verse to glorify Krishna because he accepted the service of the Yajnapatnis. And the verse describes Durga Shuta Tritasayaha. Very important point. What was the source of their strength to go to Krishna and to give up their husbands, to give up their Kula Dharma, to give up their Sri Dharma? What was their strength in doing that? Dirga Shruta Dritashaya. Because for a long time they've been hearing about Krishna. They've been chanting Krishna's names. This is a far, far superior process than the process of the Yajna Brahmins, who were simply doing something very formally. Hearing is the beginning. We say that chanting, or the kirtanakya bhakti, the kirtan is a primary anga of bhakti. But at the same time, sometimes it's said that shravan, or hearing, is most important. How do we reconcile these two? Because shravan, or hearing, comes first. And therefore, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, in his invocation to Mukta Charit, he says, Nama Shrestham Manamapi Sachiputram Matra Surupam. Nama Shrestham. I have gotten the topmost name from my Gurudev. I didn't get it from a book. I heard it. I heard that name spoken with feeling. And that's why we want to come here. We want to share some feelings with the devotees. Sadvidim Pratilakshanam. This is one of the principal loving exchanges which a Vaishnav Sangha is based upon. Guyam akyati pritchati. We want to hear something, something confidential, which comes from a guha or a cave. Guyam, the same word guyam means guha or cave. It comes from the cave of our heart. And the devotees want to share that with a proper audience. Because if you're at home on the streets of Paris or New York, you can't speak these kind of things to the people there. But here we're very, very fortunate. So those ladies, they were hearing about Krishna's glories in association with each other. And as they were going to that forest path, they came to the Ashok Grove, that place, that grove of Vrindavan, where there's no misery, no lamentation. And there in that Ashok Grove, they saw Krishna. And Srila Shukadeva Goswami gives a very beautiful description of what they saw. Shamam Hiranyaparidimvanamaya Barha Datu Pravala Natavesamanabratamse Vinyasta Hastamitarena Dunanam Abjam Kanot Palala Kakapola Mukabjahasam. There he was, standing there, Mukabja Hasam, with an enchanting smile on his face. Shamam Hiranyaparidim. He had a blue, beautiful, blackish, bluish complexion, and tightly wrapped around his waist, and hanging on his legs, was a very beautiful Hiranyaparidim, a golden ornament, a golden dhoti. Why does Krishna wear a gold dhoti? And why does Radha wear a blue sari? Jiva Goswami describes in several places, in Gopal Champu and in other prayers, that those dress of the divine couple indicate what's inside of their heart. And because Shama Sasadara, the moon-like Krishna, is inside the heart of Ananga Mohini Radha. Therefore, she wears a bluish garment on the outside to indicate that. And because Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, golden-colored Radha, is in the heart of Shyam, Krishna, then he wears a golden dhoti on the outside. Vanamalya Bharha, Bharavatamsam Asitam Buddhasundarangam. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobam. Vishesha shobam, the Brahma Sanghita says that his beauty was vishesha, it was very extraordinary, very, very special. And barhavatamsam, he has avatamsam, he has a very wonderful ornament on his head of a peacock feather. Datu prabhala, he has colored minerals, datu, painted different colors and different beautiful dots and ornaments on his body. And Prabhala, he has different flower buds in his turban. Krishna particularly likes mango flower buds. You can remember that if you're in India and you're picking some flowers or something for the deity before they blossom. He likes those buds, or the flowers also. Sometimes that's described. Natavesham anavatamse. And it's said that Krishna is natavesham. He's dressed like a dancer. Anavatamse is a very important point. He was standing with his hand, vinyasta hastam, placed on the shoulder of his friend, who Kavi Karnapur says was Subal. And ittarena dunanam abjam, in his other hand, he was twirling a lotus flower. This is Braj, where Krishna has such an intimate relationship with his premi bhaktas that he doesn't have to use speech to indicate something. And we'll come back to that. Karnotpalalaka kapola mukabjahasam. Karnotpalalaka, on his ears he had different lilies, utpala, hanging down from his ears. And alaka kopala, his hair was hanging down in his cheeks, a very, very beautiful hair. And mukabjahasam, he was chanting, he was smiling in a very enchanting way at those ladies. So why was he standing with his left hand, why not his right hand, on the shoulder of a friend? When a man and a woman are married, who sits on the left side of the groom after the marriage ceremony? The wife. The daughter sits on the right side of the man, and the wife is on the left side. She's his consort. And so Sri Krishna, by putting his hand on the shoulder of his dear Priyanarmasakha Subal, who helps to reunite the gopis and Krishna together, Krishna is indicating that just as I'm touching him, I'd also like to touch you. And at the same time, he's twirling a lotus flower in his right hand and smiling at them. Do you understand what this means? His smile is telling them that. Do you understand what I'm doing right now? Krishna's telling them that in the same way that I have my hand on my friend Subal, I also want you to be next to me in the place of my consort. And I understand that the lotus of your hearts, just like this lotus in my hand, is spinning and twirling. Your hearts are also twirling. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who gives this explanation, he says that there's two meanings. That Krishna's telling them that I'm twirling your hearts. And he's also telling them that while seeing you, who possess such intense loving sentiment for me, my lotus heart is also twirling out of eagerness to see you. Jiva Goswami, in his Lagu Vaishnav Toshani, he says that the word in this verse, nisidyamana, meaning forbidden to go there, means that the Brahmins, they were telling their wives, hey, look, okay. If you insist on going there, you insist on taking in some food, then you don't go, but you send someone else. But the wives, they didn't listen. Krishna released a shower of nectar on those ladies with his attractive, bright smile. That smile was more splendorous than the effulgence of the moon. Like someone who greets a desirable guest, when some guest comes to your house, the ladies, seeing Krishna and wanting to greet their guest, they open the doors of their eyes very wide in ecstasy. They welcome Shamasundar Krishna into their hearts. This is how the Premi Bhakta sees Krishna when he comes before the deity. He welcomes Krishna into his heart. He doesn't just come before the deity and then ask someone later on, now, what color did the deity have on today? Did you see? Was it green or was it blue? What kind of turban did Krishna have on? That's not darshan. Darshan means we come before Krishna and Krishna sees us. But there's a third thing. There's the bhakta, there's Bhagavan, and the third element is bhakti. And that bhakti is more powerful than Krishna. And with that bhakti, the wives of the Yajna Brahmins, they tied Krishna up and they brought him through the doorways of their eyes into the prisons of their hearts. And they bound him up there and they're not going to let him go. The ladies, they thought to themselves, who is this? Is this some dramatic actor about to enact a wonderful pastime? Maybe, is it Cupid personified? Or maybe this is the embodiment of conjugal love. Or is he personified, the personified bliss of love? Or is he the very form of pleasurable pastimes? Due to such absorption in Krishna, the ladies acted very boldly and they became free from doubts, free from hesitation. Kavi Karnapur says this. We can learn from this. If we become absorbed in Krishna, then where are the doubts? Where is the hesitation? We become very fixed. Everything becomes very, very clear. If we become absorbed in Krishna Nam, in Krishna Seva, in Guru Seva. Conquered by that love of Krishna, those ladies lost their minds. Krishna took complete control of their senses. And Krishna entered into their hearts. And Kavi Karnapur says, then he came back outside and they saw him outside. And then Krishna again entered into their hearts. And the Yajnaputnis, they thought, this is very amazing. Our beloved Shyamasundara is standing in front of us. And at the same time, he's standing inside of our hearts. Those ladies, they saw Krishna inside their hearts when they closed their eyes. And then when they opened their eyes, they saw that he was also standing there in front of them. And although those ladies were satisfied to see Krishna in their hearts, when they saw him on the outside, they moved closer to Krishna and opened their eyes very, very wide. Sukadev Goswami describes the bhajan of the Yajnaputnis, text 23. Prayashuta pritamayo pitamudaya karnapurai yasmin nimagna manasasta matakshi randrai anta pravesha suchiram parirabhyatapam pragyam yata bimanat bimaktayo vijahu narendra. Sukadeva Goswami speaks to Maharaj Parikshit, who he addresses as Narendra, or the king of men, ruler of men, the lion amongst men. He said that these Brahmin ladies, they'd heard about Krishna. And those glories of Krishna have become the constant ornaments of their ears. Their minds are always absorbed in him. And through the apertures of their eyes, they now forced Krishna to enter within their hearts. And then they embraced him for a long time. And in this way, they finally gave up the pain of separation from him. This is a very important point. This pastime is so instructive for all of us. Those persons who are bahirmukjanas, external persons, they're baragrahi Vaishnavas, carrying a heavy load. Have you done your 16 rounds yet? Have you followed these four things? Have you done this thing and that thing? And they're thinking of everything like a mathematical formula. But Krishna doesn't, he's not a math expert. Krishna wants the bhav of his devotees. And for the devotee, sometimes they become bound up by those people. And in the beginning, that religion helps them. But after some time, it can sometimes become a hindrance. So that thing at that point has to be given up. And they begin to cry. Why is it that Krishna doesn't appear before them earlier? Why doesn't Krishna come before us? Why does Krishna torture his devotees and make them wait for so long? If we study the Bhagavatam, later on in the 32nd chapter of this 10th canto, that chapter which is called the reunion, Krishna explains this very confidential and esoteric point to his most beloved devotees, the gopis. Naham tu sakyo bhajito pijantun bhajamya misham anubritti brittaye yatadano labda dane binashte tachchintayanyan nibrito nibeda. He says that even though someone is worshiping me and they have great love, I don't go there. Naham tu sakyo bhajito pijantun. I won't go to them. Because bhajamya misham anubritti brittaye. I want to increase the desire in their heart. So they become yata, just like dana. A very poor man who loved the dana binashte. You have a very poor man who doesn't have enough money to buy food. And if that very poor man, you give him a great treasure, then what will he do? He'll be very happy. But then you take it away from him. He'll be more miserable than he was before in his poverty. Because now he knew what it was like. And he's really hankering, really crying at that time. Krishna says, this is what I do to my devotees if I really give mercy to them. Yeshaham anugrinami harishita dhanam shanai tato dhanam twajantyasha swajana duka dukitam. I take away all their friends. I take away their husbands, like the Yajnapatnis. And they lose their friends. They lose their children. They lose everything. And he says, this is my anugraha, my mercy, that they lose everything. Tatodhanam twajantyasha swajana dukha dukitam. And then they suffer like anything. Nice mercy, isn't it? Is that really mercy? Krishna describes in the next verse what that mercy really is. Sayata vitato yogo nirvinasya dnehaya matparai krita maitrasya kurishe madanugraham. This is my anugraha. Madanugraham. When in that situation they lose all their friends, their husbands tell them, what are you doing going to this rakal, this cowherd boy Krishna? You're going to spoil your religion. They leave their husbands. And then what do they have? They have no more friends. They have no more society. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in one place, he says, the Yajnapatnis tell Krishna, we can't go back to our husbands. They'll kill us. And not just our husbands, but they're members of the village. I remember a few years ago, we were doing some programs in Tripura. And one evening after the program had finished, we were taking prasadam. And I heard a tremendous shouting and screaming and crying. And I, my God, like someone was going to be killed. Very heavy thing. And Ami Banglapore Beshi Bolchiparina. I don't speak very much Bengali. I read a little something. I couldn't understand what's going on. I sent one devotee who was with us, you go find out quickly what's happening. And he came back and he said, oh, Madhavananda, there was one woman in the village and her husband came home and caught her with another man. And the screaming you're hearing is her screaming because the whole village is driving her out. This is Vedic Dharma. And this is what the Yajnapatnis went through. This is Vedic culture. They'll drive you out. Not just the husbands or your parents, but the whole village will reject you. But Krishna says, this is my anugraha. When they give up. And then he says, matparai krita maitrasya. At that time you'll find out who your real friends are. Please don't mind. But I've seen this in our own society. Sometimes someone comes, and maybe they have some kind of shubha karma, some good karma for money. And they do some collection, and they have big collection. And everyone in the temple loves them. Oh, you're a great devotee. We'll give you the garland, and we'll clap our hands and everything. And then after 4 or 5 years or something, that devotee decides to get married. And then he has a wife. He can no longer collect so much. And then suddenly, no one cares about that person anymore. So from this verse, Krishna tells us something very secret. You can understand who your friends are when everything is taken away from you, when you have no more wealth. And at that time in our society even, we can see who our real friends are in the society. Who liked me just because I was giving some money. And who likes me and loves me in spite of that, in spite of the fact I have no money. Who loves me because of my Krishna consciousness, because of our Krishna katha. And at that point, Krishna says, this is my real mercy. Because in association with such devotees, like the cowherd boys who took those yajnaputnis away from their stiff formal husbands, they're brought to Krishna. And we can find out who our real friends are. Not just the formal people in our religion, even they may be our husbands. So we'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vinda ki, Bolo Giriraj Maharaja ki, Jai Jai Sri Radhe Shyam. So this clock is a few minutes fast. I really wanted to have a little time to have some discussion. If anybody has any comments or questions, it makes things much more powerful to let these things go into our heart. Does anybody have any quick comments or questions? Prabhuji, speak loudly, please. I'll read you something from our new book. Gorga Vindermar says about this. Very interesting. And I think an appropriate point for this discussion. One devotee asked him, should we accept someone as an authority if they have material attachments and are not situated on the spiritual platform? Gorga Vindermarsh, we accept them because we are in a society. Someone may be GBC of some region of the world, so according to the management system, he is authority. And I accept him. But by the spiritual system, unless I'm convinced, I cannot accept him as a heartfelt authority. That is up to me. I have independence. It's my choice. As far as the management system goes, I accept him because he's GBC. But as far as spiritual things go, unless I'm convinced, I cannot accept. Please excuse me. Acceptance of someone as a spiritual authority should not be forced or compulsory. That is a principle. For me to accept someone as a spiritual authority, my heart must be convinced. Because it is based on the desire of the heart. It's not an external thing. It's internal. Acting in that way is not offensive. I'm not disregarding him. He's a Vaishnav, so I offer him obeisances. We pay obeisances to all Vaishnavas, regardless if they're Kanishtha, Madhyam, or whatever. That is etiquette. But accepting someone as spiritual master is something else. So these two considerations are there. We have a social, institutional kind of consideration, which I'm not suggesting is merely mundane, because we may do that for Srila Prabhupada. We may observe that social, institutional consideration for the pleasure of our guru. But there's another personal consideration of our heart. And by that consideration, you can't dictate to me. I'm sorry. In Jagannath Puri, Krishna Kundanaya, there are many people come for our parikramas. We've had people come, some who were sent by Dhanadhar Maharaj, who were we had two Jewish people a few years ago. We had a couple people who were Muslims. We had one Christian, big Christian man. Somehow they were a little favorable to Krishna consciousness. And we took them on parikram. We did kirtan with them. We spoke some Krishna katha with them. And they were my good friends. But they're not part of ISKCON. They're not even part of our religion. What to speak of being a Vaishnava in another sampradaya. But I have a right to be friends with them. And I have a right, the right of my heart, maybe to neglect someone in this own society here. That's our obligation to our heart. And this is the obligation that we're learning from this pastime with the Yajnaputnis. We should follow the rules and regulations of society, of Vanashram Dharma, of the institution. We should support that. But at the same time, we have an obligation to our heart, to go to Krishna. We have an obligation to our heart to be friends with someone who speaks to our heart. And even they may not be part of our society. Then an institutional consideration comes. We have to be careful. Because the Yajnaputnis, if they would have left too early, maybe they would have been killed or driven out of their village. Like I was speaking this story about in Tripura. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we'll hear that Krishna sends them back. In the same way that Krishna sent Raghunath Das Goswami back. Krishna doesn't disturb society. But when things cook on the inside and the lid is covered on the pot, if you leave the pot open, the whole room gets full of steam. And it looks very impressive. But there's no strength there. But if you keep a lid on the pot of water that's boiling, it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger until finally it explodes. This is our bhajan, when there's this tension between the institution or the social rules and our bhajan. We don't prematurely run there. We keep the lid on our pot. We don't show what's inside of our heart. And the pressure builds up and builds up until you can't help it. It explodes. This is called urguna, or the exploding of a volcano. And this is the bhajan system taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll stop there. Bancha kalpatarubhishcha kutasindhudevacha padithanam pavanidhu vaishnavidhu. Srila Prabhupada ke. Okay.